seated.
Our scripture lesson today picks up where we left off last Sunday. And you may recall that we were on the road to Emmaus. We got all the way to Emmaus, and then we ended up all the way back in Jerusalem. And so our lesson today picks up with the disciples who were, or these followers of Jesus. We know one, Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other. But these followers of Jesus that have been on the road and have now in the middle of, well, not the middle of the night, but late into the evening when no one would travel, they have actually left their home and headed back to Jerusalem to share the news that they have been with the risen Lord. And so we begin with verse 36 of the 24th chapter of Luke. While they were telling these things, that's those who'd been with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. While they were telling these things, he himself, Jesus, stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. Some of your translations, does anybody have a translation they're looking at right now? It says a ghost. Okay. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? That it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it, because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." May God bless this reading of his holy word. One of the benefits that we have when we study the Bible through in order is that we remember the context of what we are reading. Sometimes we grab verses and we can apply them in all kinds of ways that may give us wonderful comfort, but may not be true. But when we read these, we start to see the connections. We also begin to better understand these truths of Scripture as we see the common threads that run from story to story to story. And when we read them by themselves, we miss that wonderful part of God's Word that runs these stories continually through these themes. From last week, we see that Jesus has just appeared to two travelers on the road to Emmaus, and that the story now merges into this story. And we are reminded from their story that the resurrection is a powerful event, so powerful that it will cause people to do things they would otherwise never consider doing. No one in that day would have left the safety of their community, the safety of their home, or of their village, or the walls of the city, to travel the 7 miles back to Jerusalem after dark, because they'd have been afraid of getting robbed or worse. You just didn't do that kind of thing in those days. In fact, that's why they urged Jesus to stay with them. I mean, obviously things were burning in their heart, but the logical thing they're able to do to convince him is, it's getting late. You shouldn't be going on. You need to stay here with us. And yet, once they are transformed by belief in the resurrection, they travel the 7 miles back to Jerusalem because of the joy that they have that needs to be shared right then. So the resurrection is a powerful event that will cause us to do things we would never consider doing. And so it's while they're telling their story that Jesus appears to the rest of them. Now Mark's gospel, which only, like we talked about last week, Mark gives us some very pointed items in this discussion, but again, Luke tells it in 13, 14 verses, and Mark tells it in one or two. We see last week that in Luke it just says they were prevented from being able to recognize him, but Mark says they couldn't recognize him because he appeared to them in a different form. Okay, and then today we've got Jesus showing up, peace be to you, and kind of a soft chastisement. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? But Mark goes, he basically just almost like goes right between the eyes and says, what's the matter with you? Why are you doubting? What's the matter with your faith? And so just as Mark told us that these travelers on the road to Emmaus were kept from recognizing him because he appeared in a different form, he reproaches, and that's the word in my New American Standard Bible that's used of what Jesus does, that he reproaches them for not believing and then accuses them of having hardness of heart. So similar to the challenge given to the travelers for not believing what had happened, that what happened needed to happen, and then for not believing the evidence that had been given them for the resurrection, he now comes to this group and says, why are you doubting? Why aren't you believing? You know, and when we look at this group, now they've even got one more piece of evidence, right? Because the two travelers from Emmaus have shown up and said, what the women told you is true. What those disciples that saw Jesus told, or saw the empty tomb told you, is true. What the angels told the women is true. And guess what? We just walked all the way to Emmaus with him. He's alive. Now last week, one of the things we talked about was the idea that sometimes we're blind to seeing Jesus because our hearts are hardened to seeing the truth about him. That we are so convinced about what the truth is, so convinced that Jesus needs to appear to us in a certain way. Like these two on the road that Jesus can't be alive. He was supposed to be the Messiah. He was supposed to come and overthrow the government. They killed him. He's dead. It didn't happen the way it was supposed to happen, so therefore, it's all done. You know, they've got it in their mind exactly how it's working, and that's part of what's blinding them to seeing the truth. And so we can get so convinced about what the truth is, so convinced that Jesus needs to appear to us in a certain way, that we don't see the real Jesus when he's standing right in front of us. So that's one way that we miss Jesus. But there's other times, just like Jesus appears in another form, where Jesus keeps us from seeing. In John 16, Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you. but you cannot bear them now. Oswald Chambers says, it is not that the Lord hides these things. It is just that they are unbearable until we get into a fit condition of spiritual life. He says there must be communion with the risen life before a particular word can be born in us. He goes on to say, you could not understand it before. You were not in the place to be in a disposition where it could be born. It is when the Son of Man is risen in you, when the life of the risen Christ so dominates you that you understand what the historic Jesus taught. That is why Jesus approaches each of these, in each of these two encounters. He approaches them in their doubts. Now that doesn't mean he brings up the same things. But he approaches them in their doubts. And while challenging them with sometimes strong words, he also answers their doubts. For the travelers, it was that Jesus hadn't fulfilled their ideas of the Messiah. So Jesus starts with Scripture. And he reminds them of what the Scriptures have always taught about what would happen when the Messiah came. For the disciples in this upper room, it was doubting the stories and doubting their own eyes. So like with Thomas, Jesus says, here are my hands. Here are my feet. Look at them. Touch them. Don't just trust one of your senses. You see me. Now you hear me. You can touch me. And you can watch me use another one as I taste that wonderful fish that you're going to give me when I ask for something to eat. So he says, see for yourself, give me something to eat. I have flesh, I have bones, I have hunger. No ghost has any of that stuff. And then Jesus leads them into the Word of God. See, so the travelers on the road to Emmaus, that's where he starts. He starts with their concerns about the Messiah not panning out the way that they planned. And then he shows them the Word of God. Then he opens their eyes. For the disciples in the room, he starts with answering what they can't believe that they are seeing. And then he moves into Scripture. And the interesting thing is when he talks about Scripture to them, he reminds them that he is the complete fulfillment of Scripture. Remember what it says there? The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Okay, that's the three divisions of the Jewish Scriptures. He's saying, I am the one that fulfills each of these, therefore I am the one that fulfills all of what the Scriptures say. Now in each of these, and this is the part that I hope you'll take home with you today. In each of these, it's not always in the same order, but in each of these encounters, Jesus offers a blessing. Peace be with you. Okay, and we hear when he blesses the bread in the story of the travelers, that's when they recognize him. In each of these, Jesus offers a blessing, he gives assurance, and he opens their understanding through the Scriptures. And if we come to the Lord with an open heart, honest about our doubts, he will do the same for us, meeting us where we are. Now, he may bring a challenge, and probably will. But always with love. and always ready to lead us to the truth of who he is, the risen Messiah, the Son of God. Now, at the very beginning, I said that the resurrection is an event that can cause people to do things that they would never otherwise do. Peter, who denies Jesus, is so on fire. The resurrection transforms him, and the Holy Spirit empowers him. And he is so on fire that he dies on a cross. The same one who denies knowing Jesus is put in prison for saying the resurrection matters, that it's the central theme of belief. Paul says it is the central thing of belief, for if you believe that Jesus rose from the grave, you are saved, in Romans 10. It is the central theme that runs through all of Jesus' teaching, and it runs through all of the apostles' teaching about Jesus. Everything they teach is immersed in the belief of the resurrection. Peter says we are born again through the resurrection. Paul says that if Christ has not been raised, then his teaching is in vain, and our faith is worthless, and we are still in our sins. John is the one who quotes Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." You cannot read what the apostles write to the churches without over and over and over again seeing the importance of what the resurrection meant to the early church and how central it became to what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm not here to beat you up about it. I just want to tell you what this says. That's what the Lord tells me I have to do. Not as a, I have to. It's what the Lord calls me to do. It's what I have to do because it's the only thing I can do. It's not about folks, it's not about scholars and textbooks and any of that. It's about Jesus. The author of life has proved that he is the author of life, that he has the right, that he has the authority to forgive sin and to take that sin upon himself and take it to the grave and come back from the dead. The apostles talk about how we only have new life because there was one who was resurrected first into life. That's why it's central to who we are. It's central to who we are as followers of Jesus Christ, because that's how we live into the new life he offers, is through his resurrection. Our sins are forgiven on the cross. His authority is proven in an empty tomb. That's what I share with you today. I know we hear it over and over. Every year we spend 2 or 3 weeks talking about the resurrection. But that's why it's so important for us to know. Jesus wants us to know it. And until we can live in some way into the belief of the resurrection, we cannot truly be filled with all that God wishes to pour into us through his word. Because it's the resurrection that creates the light that illuminates everything else about Jesus. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word and what you bring to us through it. Lord, I'm just overwhelmed right now with the words of Jude, and I know I'm not, Lord, you inspired him to write them, and I can't quote them perfect, but Jude calls us to be gentle with those who are doubting. Just like you showed up to the disciples and in gentleness showed your hands and feet. It also calls us to preach your truth, because the truth will bring the light of the resurrection that will snatch some out of the fires. Lord, we know your word does not go out and end up empty. So, Lord, my heart just is burning this morning to pray for those who are doubting. To pray for those that are resisting. No matter where they are, inside these walls or outside these walls, Lord. Let the light of your resurrection shine so brightly that it cannot be denied. Let your spirit flow so freely that we all come running to you, hearts open wide. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're here with us today. Thank you for your love and your grace. And we thank you that you are the Lord of all life and offer it freely to all who believe. So we praise you this morning in your most holy name. And God's people said, Amen.